Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey y'all, welcome to Porch Talk. My name is Jody Ross, and this is a song I wrote called Bless Your Heart.
As Jody told you, this is an episode of Porch Talk. We're in Winston County of Mississippi, down in Louisville. Tailor-made machinery, big part of this. Putting asphalt down around this part of town, along with other businesses. But here, this evening, we're here to talk about music. I have Jody Ross here with me.
Hey, Alan.
Jody, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Born and raised in Louisville. Where are you from?
Born and raised right here in Louisville.
Whoa.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, you know, it's just your typical small town where everybody knows everybody. And if they, you know, if you don't know your business, somebody else does.
Yeah, so you're a Mississippi girl.
I am.
From getting familiar with your original music, I would gather that maybe you looked to Faith Hill at some point in your life.
I mean, you know, she's a Mississippi girl.
Wrote a whole song about it?
Write a whole song about it.
Shout out to it with the opener. If you're not from the South, if you happen to be hearing this, if a young lady or a lady in general tells you to bless your heart, that's an insult.
Right. It's not always nice.
It rarely is.
Right?
Rarely is. It's, if I hear bless your heart, I was like, what have I done, went and done?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, as the older I get, the more I see it come up, and it's funny how some people will take it. Oh, thank you.
Right.
Like, you know, maybe you're being just as sarcastic. I don't know.
Right. That's not what I meant at all.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about growing up in Louisville in this booming metropolis. What was growing up like?
Oh, man. Well, you know, it's a lot of country living out this way. Grew up making a lot of mud pies and singing in church. And in teenage years, when you got your driver's license, went uptown and you made the loop to Walmart to Sonic. And yeah, you just met up in the parking lot, hung out with your buddies. We did have a movie theater up until this year. So, yeah.
Is that real?
We did. We had a two-screen movie theater when I was elementary age. And then, I guess, gosh, probably around my junior high years, we upgraded to a four-screen.
Louisville was on the up and up.
Yes. Like, it was a big deal. We didn't have to go to Starkville anymore. We could stay in town. So, yeah, we and up like I said, until this year, we had a movie theater. So that's kind of been a bummer. That's been like a staple in town. And yeah,
one thing I thought, like from where I'm just across the state line from Columbus, mm-hmm. over in Lamar County, and not far from there to the north a little bit. We had a drive-in movie theater up in Gwinn. And I always thought, what the perfect storm, you know, with everything that we had going on during COVID is like, well, I mean, that is perfect. Right. Not only could you, like, you don't have to have new movies. I mean, at that time, they weren't making movies.
Yeah.
You could literally show the classics. Or, and I heard they'd done this outside of Nashville in some places, why don't you book a band and let them play the theater?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a wide open field. And I always thought that was just like a missed opportunity.
Yeah. That's such a cool thing. I admit, I've never been to a drive-in movie, but I mean, like, lots of opportunity. You're right.
Yeah. So, well, the theater is long gone now.
It is long gone. So, like, you know, the whole scene in Louisville was completely changed, unfortunately.
Was that the scene? Was that all there was?
Yeah. The Mexican restaurant and the movies. Like, when you went out for a date or hang out with friends, you went to the Mexican restaurant, which was right across from the movie theater.
Right.
Then you went right across the road to catch a 7 o'clock movie.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't even have a theater. And you had to be careful on, like, what night it was in our little town, like, with the restaurant.
Yeah.
It may not be open if they didn't have enough lunch that day.
Right. Right.
So I totally get that. So what about music? You said you were making mud pies and you grew up singing in church. Mm-hmm. So you were always singing and involved with music, I'm guessing?
Oh, for sure. Like music, I guess, I don't know. I just feel like I probably came out the womb singing, to be honest. But yeah, grew up singing in church. I think from the time I could probably walk and hold a microphone, I was singing. I didn't start really taking any lessons musically until, of course, sixth grade, got into band in the local, my local school, and then started taking piano lessons around the same time. And then when I turned 16, I wanted a guitar for my 16th birthday. And that's when
Piano wasn't cool enough?
You know, it was cool, but everybody played piano. In a small town, everybody took piano lessons. Very few, like, played guitar.
Okay.
So it was kind of like a...
It's kind of like a niche.
Yeah. Wanted to be different. I guess that's kind of like... I've always kind of wanted to, in a sense, I guess, go against the grain a little bit. Just for example, whenever we graduated high school, everybody went to the 13th grade at the community college, which, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I was ready to get out in the world and kind of go meet other people, go see what else was out there. So it's always kind of been like, what's new? What else can I do? You know?
Yeah, same. I remember, like, 13th grade. Like, if you went on to graduation, you graduated, yeah, you had the community college option, like you said. And I mean, they weren't studying anything. They were just there. They were just hanging out. I remember like going there when I was a junior or a senior, and they had a ping pong table in the cafeteria. And so like I would skip high school to go hang out with my friends who had graduated. And I was like, so this is college? And it's like, it's our college. And I was like, well, I'm probably not going to do this, but I'll do it while I'm in high school.
Right.
It's fun now, but I always the same way. And that was kind of the marker. And as I got older, it's funny looking back, for those who got out or, you know, beat the grind or however you want to put it, is like, oh, the people that I don't hear from anymore in high school that left immediately after, and, you know, they turned up dust and they never looked back.
Mm-mm.
And they're in Colorado, they're upstate New York, you know, they're out and they're doing things. And, like, it's fun following their journey other than, like, all the people that are still kind of kicking the same dirt that I've been kicking, you know.
Right.
Which, I mean, I got out too, and I got to travel and see the world a little bit, but now I'm kind of like back in my stomping
grounds. That's what my point was going to be next. I was like, you know, yeah, I did that. I didn't go like incredibly far as like Colorado and New York, but I got out, I went, you know, was away. But like, I feel like somewhat that makes you appreciate
absolutely
home a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, where would you go?
Well, we were in North Mississippi, in Senatobia, like right beside Memphis. So lots of opportunity.
Well, also, opportunity, but also like a different scenery when it came to music.
Oh, yeah.
Altogether.
Completely. Your blues, you know, plus mm-hmm. you weren't that far from the Delta. So you had all of that kind of filtered in too. And then like up there around Memphis, they have like the Turner Festival and like all of those, like I said, blues that come in. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. So like the formative years of high school, you decided to go up toward North Mississippi. Would you still be pursuing music, or were you trying to figure out what you would major in? Or what was life like at that time?
Well, growing up,
was there ever any doubt?
No, music was going to be a part, somewhat. And kind of going back to that whole 13th grade thing, like band was a big part of my life. In high school, I was drum major, all of those things. My mom was very much like, don't you want to go to community college? You'll get a full ride. You can be drum major, all these things. And I'm like, I was done with that part of my music life. And I came across music therapy and in my search for what to major in.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of wanted to do something medical based, but I'm not a fan of like blood and guts either. So I was like, okay, well, this is not going to work out for me to be a nurse. But I came across music therapy and I was like, ooh, takes my love of music, takes my want of helping people, kind of meshes it together. So that led me to the W. It will forever be the W.
Hey, yeah.
Yes. I
mean, a bit of controversy right
now. It sure is.
But I mean, but it's even bigger than that. It's with MSMS.
Yes.
And it's whether Mississippi State, MSU, is going to
merge
or possibly just
relocate MSMS.
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So I mean, like, there's a lot in the cards. Now, granted, like, I've been around the W all my life,
mm-hmm.
and like I understand like people who work in marketing for the W, like when they go to these, you know, high school where everybody is introducing their college, and I can understand like the guys see the W, the Mississippi University for Women, and they just blow right by.
Right.
But and I can also see like you're probably missing the other demographic with the women. It's like, well, I don't want to go to a girls' college per se.
Right.
Like I would like to be around the opposite sex.
Right.
And so like, and that is not the W anymore.
No.
Like, and it hasn't been the W for
since
a long
1982.
Time.
Since 1982.
Right. But like they have got to come together. The alumni that I've talked to and mm-hmm. I've interviewed and like helped write articles for this, and Most of the alumni that I've talked to, they are good with a name change, but they just want to be involved in the process.
Right.
And they feel like they don't have a voice.
Mm-hmm. Agree. Yeah. They, I mean, like, there's been surveys sent, but from the feedback that I've gathered, just, you know, from different W group, alumni groups and things, the suggestions that alumni made has not even made the cut. No. So it's kind of like, okay. And I'm sorry, but some of the suggestions, I feel like, no offense to any listeners, but I feel like, okay, Brightwell, really? I feel like I just got a certificate, not a degree.
Even Winbridge, it doesn't.
Yeah.
That same vibe, and that's what I was thinking. I've made a lot of jokes on social media about the name change. And
AI generated it. Yeah. I feel like that's what happened.
Yeah, I mean, it almost feels like, oh yeah, I went to Winbridge and got my dental degree. It's like, it doesn't even like,
right.
It takes kind of the prestige away from it.
Right.
It even does. Though this is a very, you know, it's a four-year university. It's
You get master's degrees there, too, as well.
It's acclaimed.
Like, right.
It holds some respect.
And I think, too, the history of it is what really plays into it all. I understand, like, pardon me, if a guy goes there, they know what they're getting into.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's Mississippi University for women, you know. But at the same time, like, I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot more history to take into account than when they're renaming this and making it hold that tradition in a sense. There's so many traditions within those walls there that college. So. Oh,
I mean, absolutely. I mean, like, it has so much history. I mean, even intermingling with the city and the populace itself, mm-hmm. Decoration Day. I mean, you could take it as far as... the pilgrimage is taking place like during Porch Fest. Like,
oh, cool.
The tail end of the pilgrimage is like the Friday and Saturday of Porch Fest.
Sweet.
And so, like, I mean, that is the way that I'm advertising it to people who are coming from out of town. We have people from all over the country coming to Columbus to be at this event.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, if you like history, if you'd like to experience like these antebellum homes that we have in downtown Columbus,
mm-hmm.
even the W, I mean, like, we have a rich cultural history. I was like, go take it all in.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I just remember, like, when I was at the W and being on campus, like, all of those older buildings with so much, like you said, history connected to, like, the Civil War. And, like, there's tunnels under campus, like,
mm-hmm.
that help soldiers get from the railroads. Like,
mm-hmm.
Callaway was at one time a Civil War hospital. Like, and I love history. So, like, that stuff, just, I ate it up when I went to school there.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, you're breathing it in because, I mean, you're walking the halls.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, I totally get that. And
then, you know, Mary the Ghost was in Callaway, too, so there's that.
That's it. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, just to those college years, what would you finally land on getting an education in?
Music therapy was where I finally landed getting my degree. I dabbled in music education as well, kind of did a double major. But I ended up, within your music therapy degree, you have to complete a 6-month internship before you're able to graduate. So whenever I got to my senior year, I applied for an internship in-state at a place in Senatobia called the Bedour Center. And that's essentially how I ended up close to Memphis in that area.
Okay.
Because I went to intern at this facility, and it's a place for adults with intellectual disabilities. And with music therapy and your training, you kind of go through, like nurses have clinicals and you do rotations, different floors, all those things. Music therapy, you go and you practice, do clinicals for, you know, different populations. So along my college years, we would go and do clinicals with nursing homes, Alzheimer's units, acute psych facilities, and then we would work in school settings with kids with special needs. Or even do like special events where kids with special needs would come to campus and do like a music therapy day with us music therapy students. And anyway, I just kind of grew to love persons with special needs. And so I was like, I would love to work in the school doing music therapy. this is Mississippi and that's not happening. So, like I said, interned at this facility, and it was adults with intellectual disability. So I kind of got to do a little bit more than just music therapy. It was lots of creative arts based. So we did arts classes. We did a play, like full-blown, like production with costumes, set design, like the whole shebang. We even did like photography class. We would do pottery occasionally, all kinds of different creative arts things. So yeah, that was a really awesome experience. And once I interned there, I kind of slid right in the door. The music therapist that was there at the time was going back to grad school, and she was like, hey, you can kind of just maybe rotate on in. And that's kind of how it all worked out. So I was there for about 8 years working as a music therapist. Yeah.
What about family life and all that? I mean, where would you meet your husband?
Well, a girl that I went to the W with was actually childhood friends with him, and he's a twin, his brother, and she actually had dated his brother. Anyway, so she kind of introduced us, connected us, and went from there. So for a time, we did the whole like long distance thing. So
Was he a Louisville guy too?
No, he grew up in Pontotoc. And actually when we met, he was already done with college and was out working, and he was actually on the coast working at that time. So
okay, yeah. Opposite sizes.
Oh yeah. And then fast forward, I guess, let's see, I graduated in 2010. We got married in 2011. And he was in New Orleans. So yeah, that was, and was only coming home like every other weekend, maybe every 2 weeks kind of deal.
Whoa.
Yeah, so we, like I said, the long distance thing, yeah, I'm, you know, no stranger to that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. I was wondering how that came in.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, so during that time, your marriage, graduate degree?
Just bachelor's.
Just bachelor's.
Just
at this
bachelor's,
time?
Yeah.
Like, you were trying to just figure out a lot. What were you doing at this time?
So, like, working, newlyweds, and then, let's see, I guess we had our first child in 2015. Yes, 2015. And that's kind of like, I guess, whenever work life kind of started to shift for me, because I was like, well, the place I was working at was a nonprofit. While the work was very rewarding, I was like, I need to try to spend more time with my family. And I would love to be able to have the same, you know, holidays and things off, summers off with my son when he gets into school. And my husband, I think he's learned his lesson, told me, he was like, you know, if you go back to school and get your teaching degree or your teaching license, we'll move back home, you know, and go from there.
And y'all were down in New Orleans at this
time? We were in Senatobia.
Okay.
Yes. Let me fast forward. He actually did transfer jobs. And he, after I guess about the first year of us being married, he came back home, and he was home full time. So we were both there at this point. But he told me, you know, do those things. We'll move back here to Louisville. Be closer to family, whatever. Because we were like 2.5 hours away. And raising a kid just with no family nearby, I mean, it's a challenge.
Yeah, it's a tale old as time. It's like that newlywed couple, especially when there's,
yes,
when there's a newborn involved, is like they immediately realize, holy crap, we need some help.
Yeah, and I mean, we did it. Like, we made it. And I, like, again, I think that's one of those experiences, like, you went through it, like, you appreciate it, because now I did go back and get my teaching license. He held up his promise, and we moved back here. We built our house. And so this is kind of like where we set down our roots, and which has been exciting, because now I feel like my kids get to experience my childhood kind
sure.
of the same stomping grounds, you know, even though it's definitely a little bit different than it was when I was growing up. But anyway, I appreciate now having my one-year-old. We're right across the road from my parents. So help is immediate. And just having that support, it definitely makes you So much appreciative.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I mean, I think that's one thing that we're all, I mean, I don't think we're learning that at all. I think we all hit that level. Is like there's some kind of a biological clock that just right when you get up to that moment, and you don't know when that is, I think it's time to get back closer to the family and begin to like rally the base and all this and that. Mm-hmm. I went down to Mobile for college for a time.
Gotcha.
And I would live down there for 6-7 years. And when things began to kind of fall apart, or like, let's say that you were a gold miner and you were pinned to the sand and all that, and I was like, when you got to the final of the pan, there wasn't nothing there. And I was like, why am I doing this again?
Yeah.
Like, I could be back home with people that I know and who I grew up with, and I could be close to family and helping them. Why am I fighting so hard to be somewhere that maybe I don't belong?
Right.
And so, I mean, I came back, and I mean, that's how this was born, this podcast, and even the festival, and you're going to be a part of that, and all these other endeavors that I've started into. And I mean, I think that was in part with just being close to people who actually know me and love me,
mm-hmm.
and can come alongside me and help.
Right.
I mean, it's tough, like, when you, and I think it's totally worth it when you're young, if you can afford to, mm-hmm. even if you can't, to go take those chances. And I mean, it's okay if you lose.
Yeah.
You can always come back, but like to get those world experience, to leave the state or to leave the county or the city that you grew up in, mm-hmm. and just see what life is about out there. Because I mean, that's the number one thing that we always want to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
The moment I'm out of high school, I'm out of here.
Right.
And then, like, time passes by, and it's like, well, it really wasn't that bad, was it?
No. And we, during that time of us being in Senatobia, I turned 30. And at that point was whenever I was kind of shifting work. I was going to start working my first year as a school teacher. And mm-hmm. I was a sped teacher. Or am a sped teacher. So I didn't teach music. I taught special education, but with the hopes of using my music therapy experiences to kind of integrate that in my classroom was what I was wanting to do. So kind of that shift with work, and then that shift in entering a whole new decade, hitting a whole another milestone in life, writing songs, playing live music, was something I'd always wanted to do.
Oh, you never really...
I never had pursued that...
Outside of church.
Right. Never performed, like... I mean, outside of, like, you know, doing all of the band stuff, you know, what is it, extracurricular stuff.
Yeah, it was never you with your name on it.
Exactly. And so I was like, I've always wanted to do this. That was one reason why I picked up the guitar in the first place, wanted to learn, because Michelle Branch...
No.
Do you know Michelle Branch?
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, she was kind of like, she's definitely not Taylor Swift. I'm not comparing her to Taylor Swift. She's more of like a rocker edge. She was part of a duo at one point called The Wreckers, her and a girl named Jessica Harp, were a country duo called The Wreckers for a brief, like, early 2000s
What
time.
Part of the country?
That would have been like Nashville. I think Michelle is from Arizona, if I'm...
Okay.
Anyway, but she was out on the pop charts. When I was around 14, 15, 16, and she played guitar. And I was like, if she can do that and write her songs, I can do that.
Yeah.
And so she actually came to Mississippi State and played the amphitheater about the same time I started taking guitar lessons.
They got Better Than Ezra coming soon. And that's like a throwback to like...
Oh my gosh, I know.
I came up on.
Yes.
I was like, I'm growing old with these guys. I might go see it. It's like... We're right. All old now.
I know. Well, like them, and like, I love Sister Hazel. I'm completely done. Hey. I love Sister Hazel. And
what,
like,
about Hootie and the Blowfish,
yes,
making their comeback?
All of those 90s, like, greats were wonderful. Anyway, this past weekend, I played at Georgia Blue in Starkville, and it was just a couple of tables there, but it was, I started playing some Matchbox 20, and they were like, Yeah, that's like my, our stuff we listen to. So like, I really like got to tap into all of my 90s music that I love. So that was wonderful.
Shout out to it.
Yes. Yeah. But so Michelle Branch was the reason I picked up guitar and kind of wanted to songwrite. And I did kind of write a couple of...
Well, how would you cut your teeth on that? So I'm going to guess like with the piano and like while you were in band in high school, classically trained, you can read music.
Yeah.
Guitar is somewhat of a different animal when comes to reading. I did music as a minor for a time in college, and when I started looking at reading music for guitar, I was like, that is a nightmare.
Oh yeah.
I don't want any part of that. I think I'll just play by ear. So is that kind of the route that you took?
Well, my piano teacher at the time, she also gave guitar lessons. So I basically just learned chords. I'm completely a rhythm player, like doing riffs, lead stuff, completely out of my wheelhouse. I'm definitely more chord minded and rhythm based. But anything that I've learned, like looking at tabs, I kind of taught myself like how to read a tab or how to like pick up individual notes and things like that. So she taught me probably 2 years and she taught me all she knew. And then from that point, I just taught myself. I would say I wanted to learn a song. I would find the tabs on Ultimate Guitar. At that time, it wasn't even an app. It was ultimateguitar.com.
Oh, I remember.
Print it out.
Yeah.
I had a whole binder of songs.
Oh, before that, if you wanted to learn a song on guitar, you had to have somebody around you that knew it.
That right. And you just listen and just pick it out.
Or it may have just come on the radio and you was just happened to be listening with a guitar handy.
Right.
Like, man, like people today have it so easy.
Oh, yes.
Everything's at your fingertip.
For real. But I would sit there and kind of like you said, like listen to the song, YouTube it or whatever, play along, or like you said, happen to catch it on the radio and play along.
Mm-hmm.
Anything extra outside of my lessons, I pretty much taught myself. And now in college, and I guess, you know, it's kind of one of those things, you look back, hindsight is 2020, and like all of these little steps that you take. So like picking up the guitar actually benefited me.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When I went to college, because music therapy, you had to major in an instrument, voice or piano, but you also had to take guitar. You had to learn how to, you take a piano with you to a therapy session. Like, you know, the guitar was the most portable instrument. So I was ahead of the game in that sense. I really didn't have to focus on learning all of these other academic things, plus learn how to play a guitar in college. Like, I already knew how to do that. So
yeah.
So that was beneficial. But anyway, whenever I hit 30, I kind of hit that switch, like, oh, this is something I've always wanted to do. I never really did it. And there was a coffee shop in town that did open mics. And granted, it's in Etobia. There's a community college there. It's a little bit bigger than Louisville, but same kind of small-time vibe. But I would go and I would play covers. And then I got brave and started sharing a couple of originals that I wrote. And I'm assuming that somebody from the coffee shop or somebody from Senatobia heard one of my original songs that I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And it got nominated for the Mississippi Music Awards, which I didn't even know was a thing. Two, I still have no clue who nominated me. And it was kind of like a fan base, like people voted kind of deal. And I ended up winning. This was back in 2019.
How about that?
Right before COVID. So I ended up winning, and that kind of like snowballed because, you know, people see your accolades, even though that wasn't what that was about for me. Like, but people see accolades attached to your name, and they're like, oh, well, let's pay attention to her. And so it just kind of went from there, and then it just gave me the, I guess, courage and the motivation to be like, okay, well, maybe I really do like have what it takes to do this.
Out of curiosity, was that the song you opened up with the Bless Your Heart?
It was not. It's a song called My Favorite Memory, and it's not even recorded.
Well, how about that?
Hopefully, the plan later on this year is to get that out there. So that's in the works. Just because I feel like, hey, I mean, it won me an award, so it needs to be out there. Just for...
Well, I don't want to cut your story off, but just for a second, is like your songwriting process, and I'm sure it's different with each song. And the word came, or the music came, or well, it kind of both just lightning in the bottle, it all kind of just fell into place. That very first song that you wrote, how would that come together? How did that happen?
Every song is different. I'm not one of these regimented people that's like, you do it this way. You know, like, it literally is just whatever happens. My motto is, I just wing it. Like, literally in life, all things, I just wing it. But that one in particular, I just kind of got to thinking, I like to write, I'm either very nostalgic and get my feelings and think about, I like to think about, like I said, time's gone by. Or I try to be clever with my lyrics. And I got to thinking about, I really appreciate my Southern upbringing. I know not necessarily a lot of times if you go other places in the country, South gets a bad whatever rep. But I appreciate my Southern upbringing and all of these little quirky things that we do down here that literally, if you're not from here, you don't understand, like, Bless Your Heart. Like, people are like, oh, that's so sweet. That's not what I meant. But I was thinking about all of these little phrases that we say down here and was just kind of like writing them down and like thinking about like the context of what those things. And I was like, surely there's a way to connect this and kind of make a sassy song. And part of my goal was to kind of write something upbeat because I tend to be like in my feelings. And so I was like, okay. So I just sat down and kind of just played around with it and it just kind of like fell in place.
Yeah, I like that. I like playing with sayings or superstitions even.
Yeah.
I was watching Dumb and Dumber last night.
Oh, that's such a great movie. It's one of my favorites.
You know, they're sitting at the diner and he just Flo and they're all geeking up about her name being Flo, and Harry spilt the salt.
Right.
Now throw it over your right shoulder. Well, he totally messed up everything. One, don't throw the entire shaker in.
Correct.
And two, it's your left shoulder, not your right. And like that's always been something fun. And then to carry that on, like even like with superstitions of the coins on the eyelids, throwing something over your left shoulder, like if it's a heartbreak. Well, I'm going to throw your line eyes over my left shoulder. Yeah and just play with all this stuff.
Right.
And that those are some of my favorite things to do is, like, when it comes to a song is, I don't want to be clever just so people think that I'm clever.
Right.
But, like, I do want to be tongue-in-cheek.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also, like, one thing that I'm learning, too, like, I've been writing songs for, well, over half of my life now. I've been doing it for over 18 years. Mm-hmm. Is getting caught up in who's the song for.
Right.
And I've tried to completely get away from writing or doing anything artistically that isn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
If someone else happens to enjoy it, that's great, but I did this for my sake.
Right.
And I'm glad you dig it, but if you don't, that's fine too, because I didn't do it for you.
Right.
And I think like that'll save you a lot of damage.
It does. And I'm like, that's a great point, because, you know, like, I just released a new single back February the 15th. And it's such a numbers game. And I try not to even really pay attention to the numbers, like the plays, the things, this. And I'm like,
oh, yeah. It's easy to get caught up in it, though.
Oh, my gosh. Because you said, you like, it really can just, like, make you feel like, man, what did I do this for? And, you know, it's such a good reminder, though, like, art is for you, like, in any capacity. It's for you. And mm-hmm. like you said, it's great if somebody else enjoys it or it resonates. But ultimately, it's just an expression of yourself.
Well, it's like I've been quoting Ruben for a while. And he's big about talking about the art. And I think it's true, whether it's a song, or if it's visual, even if it's comedy, or whatever style of art that you're trying to do is... If you do it for yourself, it's art. If when you begin doing it for someone else, it becomes commerce.
Mm-hmm.
And like, ooh, way to make it real vain, real quick.
Oh yeah.
And yeah. So like it's I always try to check myself. It's like when I'm sitting down and working on a new idea, is this because someone has upset me?
Mm-hmm.
That's fine if they have.
Right.
Because a lot of great art comes from a bad place.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, be careful with, like, the direction.
Right. Don't get lost, I guess, in where you're trying to go.
Yeah.
With your art, so.
Yeah, I mean, but totally. I mean, I get it, too. And it's, like, I even see that, like, I'll mess with some of my music buddies. Like, predominantly all their friends are from, like, let's just say this area.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got 2,000 friends on your Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Less than 1,800 of them are from Winston County. Mm-hmm. And you're playing a show in Baton Rouge and you made a post about you playing in Baton Rouge. What are you doing?
Right. Those 1,800 people are not driving to Baton Rouge.
Mm-mm. And at that point, like, I think, like, you're just kind of, and I don't know if we mean this this way or not, but I know I've done it in the past. Is like, it's kind of like me throwing it up in my other music buddies' faces, like, hi, I'm playing in Baton Rouge this weekend and you're not.
Yeah.
And like, we can get really nasty toward each other in like a very a bad way.
Yeah. And I don't think, like you said, it's not necessarily intentional, but I'm also guilty too of like other musicians, you know, doing these things. And it kind of goes back to a lot of times I'm like,
are you cooler than me?
Are you cooler than me? And then I'm like, but then I'm reminded, I was like, I didn't start doing like this music stuff and performing out these places until like I was 30. And I'm like, a lot of times I catch myself going like, do people view me as this, the person on American Idol that's up there trying to do something that they need to just go sit down? Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then I like too, on the flip side of that, I'm like, I'm 30. Why am I doing this? You know, like, I'm not 30 anymore, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm only getting older, so, like, I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I have all these things. I'm a teacher, and, like, I even have to be careful with that because I'm like, everybody has their cookie-cutter image of what a teacher's supposed to be. And I feel like as we've progressed in society, that's kind of, the lines are a little bit more blurred now, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, oh, well, my teacher's singing here this weekend. You know, like, so I just have to be very careful and cautious sometimes with how I present myself or what things I do share, because it could come back, but on the professional side of things. But I don't know. I kind of feel like maybe I missed the mark sometimes. Like, I should have done this a long time ago. But then I'm like, well, maybe I shouldn't have. Maybe right now is the right time.
I think whatever time it is the right time.
Right.
I grew up playing a lot of music in church. I had a music teacher before I went down to Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
He got me into, like, playing the bar scene around, like, Columbus for a time.
Mm-hmm.
And after I'd done that for a while, I decided I was going to go back to school, and I went go back down to Mobile, heavily involved in church,
mm-hmm.
playing music on mission trips for our youth group, for children's church, doing everything that we could musically within church and ministry. And I remember, like, there being an open mic and it not being far from where we were living, and we went and played it. And, like, it was me and my roommate at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided to call ourselves the General Specific. And we played one night at that open mic. We did three songs. And the person who booked happened to be there in the night. And we landed a summer residency.
Yeah.
And he's like, love your sound, love what y'all do. As though it was all original. It's like, yeah, we're both songwriters and we could do 3 hours of original music if you wanted us to.
Yeah.
I don't know about your clientele. And that's another thing is, like, the more I get into music, and now that I have a repertoire that, well, I don't need to rely on covers. I can play my own my own music for longer sets. Is being picky about where I play.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't think we talk about that enough. It's like, you don't take every gig.
Yeah.
And then,
no is an answer.
No is an answer. Yeah. And we forget that too a lot. It's like, well, I want to be doing this as much as possible. But, I mean, you're throwing aside, like, your interpersonal relationships, family. If you got kids, I mean, there's so many things you... But it's so easy to get selfish in those moments.
It is.
And so, I mean, that's been my main thing is, like, if I'm going to play a show, however long it is, I'm not playing covers. I'm playing my songs. And I want more of a listening room. If that only makes it to where I'm playing 5-6 times a year,
mm-hmm.
so be it. Like, those are the shots that I'm taking.
Yeah.
And sometimes it hurts.
It does. Because I know, and I'm, in particular, like, this area, I appreciate places like Munson and Brothers. I appreciate places that encourage originality and being able to share that original music. Because when I play my gigs, a lot of times it is mainly covers. And I'll pepper in my originals throughout the mm-hmm. night. If there's somebody that's followed me for a time and maybe comes and hears me, they know I have originals, and they may be like, hey, play one of your original songs,
mm-hmm.
which is wonderful. It's refreshing. But being able to find an audience around here that appreciates nothing but original music is kind of few and far between.
Yeah. What's it like playing out down at the lake?
It's typically your small town crowd here.
So I'm sure they want the country covers.
Oh yeah. For the most part. And then they know that I songwrite. So it's typically the standard, you got your, regulars that are there and they know, so they'll appreciate a lot of times if I've got a new one, I'm like, hey, can I throw this at you? Hmm. And they're very, you know, welcoming with that. And then, like, you know, during the summertime months, you get the people that are here to come vacation at the lake, which is something, I mean, I never realized, like, so many people came from all over to this place.
Yeah.
But they do. And it's a wonderful place. Like, my son loves going now in the summertime. But there's people from all over that come. And so you never know, like, who's going to be
exposure.
Listening. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, sure, man. That's, I think about that, like, just going back to Columbus and Munson and Brothers, like, we have the Air Force Base and we also have W. I don't know where the W students go. Maybe they go to Starkville. I don't know what the kids do.
Yeah.
But I know, like, the Air Force, and I'm thankful for those guys. And it's just like a college class.
Mm-hmm.
You get them for 2-3 years or however long their stay is, and then they're all over the country.
Right.
And so, like, as a musician, if you leave an impact on them, well, that's just going back to Columbus, Ohio.
For real.
Yeah. Or that's going back to Colorado. And you never know. And the next thing you know, you're checking your little bubbles. And it's like, well, I just picked up 15 people in Oregon.
Right.
I've never been. How's that happen?
Yeah.
You know, it's probably because of that.
Yeah.
It's the whole thing is strange.
It is strange.
And you never know the journey. I mean, like, playing the open mic and then being nominated for songwriter of 2019. Wow.
I know, crazy. And then, like, from there, you know, I felt like I had to get some original music out there. But then, like, this was April of 2019 when the war happened. And then, rock on, we hit 2020, and we all know what happened then. And I'm like, well, what do you do? Like, gigs quit? And I felt like I was just, like, getting momentum, too.
Yeah.
Gigs stopped, and you're like, okay. Well, I had some buddies down from the Jackson area that had, like, a little home studio. And I was like, I really need to get
something
out there. So they were super talented, had their little setup. They played on the song. So Bless Your Heart was my first single that I put it out in 2020. And anyway, sat on that one for about 2 years. And I was like, okay, I need something else out there. And so then, like, in 2022, put out my next single. Then it's been like 2 years, and then I just released my newest one. So it's kind of like a trend. That's like every 2 years.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's funny too to see that transformation from who that artist was in 2019 to who I am now, kind of like as a songwriter.
Sure.
I don't know. I listened to some of the things that I wrote then and even kind of before, and I'm like,
amateur.
Okay. Yeah. And like now I'm like, okay. Like, this is what it, you know, this is what I like. This is what I sound like, you know. So
yeah, you begin to find your groove, and like even with the covers, it's more like a cover than it is like you trying to like do exactly whomever you're covering was doing.
Right.
It's like, well, this is a Matchbox 20 song to the tune of How Jody's Feeling It Tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you have that, you know, flexibility, and I feel like that artistry just grows, that musicianship.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool. Well, tell me a little bit about today. What are you working toward? You mentioned you got a new single coming out, just come out.
Yeah, new single just come out. There's potentially another single or two in the works. Possibly looking at maybe one of those singles kind of being like a crossover, having a little rock edge to it.
You know, like, yeah. And even myself, I've only got like one song that you can listen to on all the streamers. Like, I've got a lot of like bedroom takes that you can hear on my YouTube channel,
yeah,
but like nothing that I've put out for, you know, all the streamers. But I think there is something to that, and this is something that I'm going to explore with my songs, and I wanted to see what you think about it, is Bless Your Heart.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, your first style or the first rendition that you put out, maybe it has a country flair.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've got a couple of buddies who are kind of rock and roll. Cut it again. And you release it under the same thing, and so, like, oh, well, I was kind of feeling a little funky. Cut it again.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I think that would be interesting, is, like, just having different iterations of the same song, because that's what, like, your Beyoncé or even Taylor Swift's are doing now.
Right.
Like, to how a song maintains on the top 100, pop 100, whatever the chart is if you'll notice, like, if you look at the fine print, they have five or six versions of the same song,
mm-hmm,
that all goes to the same count.
Right.
And that's how that happens.
Yeah. That's such a good idea. Because I know, like, you know, that, like I said, that musicianship grows, but at the same time, like, I mean, how cool is that to be able to be like, well, I'm feeling this way, let me express it this way. Same song, but like, or even taking it and slowing it down, the tempo.
Yeah, deconstruct it a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of things.
It's fun. And I mean, like, who knows? The song may be resonating with somebody, but it just wasn't the right flair.
Right.
So, I mean, another opportunity. And maybe none of it works. And then again, it's like, well, who did I do it for in the first place?
Right. It kind of goes back to what we were talking about.
So, yeah. And so in the end, it doesn't matter. Well, Jody, I really do appreciate the hospitality. I wanted to ask you, I think, maybe three more questions and we'll walk it on out the door.
Okay, sounds good.
Question number one, and I got to do just to plug my own stuff. It just so happened that you were booked to play Munson Brothers on the night of Porch Fest. And when I saw that, I had been following your journey for, I think, 2 or 3 years now. I had been meaning to have you on the show for that long, and I was like, well, you can't play at my festival unless you've been on the show. But I'm excited how the cards fell.
I know, that's so crazy.
So I guess the question is as far as festivals, and I know you played with Little Sturgis and mm-hmm. some other festivals around Mississippi, what are your takeaways from playing the 2-3 hour maybe restaurant bar gig to being able to, wow, it's a 45-minute set and I just get to put my best foot forward? What's the difference in the experiences for you?
I think those 2-3 hour sets, while they're nice, I mean, you have to kind of, the people change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it rotates out. It may be busy. It may slow down or it may start slow. It may build up. You know, you just kind of never know what you're going to get. I mean, same thing with festivals. You never know what you're going to get. But for 45 minutes, you can really,
you get to rip it.
Put your energy, all your whole energy into it, that 45 minutes. That same amount of energy that I would take to drag out 2-3 hours, I can compact it in 45 minutes and really put on a show. So I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, that's... I love those shows. Used to play the bands and we'd get these 3-4 hour shows. You go on at midnight, you wrap up at 4, and you're already 3 hours from your home. So you hit the road, you're coming back and the sun's on your back. And I remember when we started finding success and we're playing the festivals and 45 minutes, we're not even red hot until we're an hour and a half in. How do we come out that hot? You know?
Right. Yeah, you gotta bring your A game, that's for sure. But on the flip side of that too, I also love being a part of these festivals because it gives me opportunity to hear other artists. So you know, maybe I'd get there, hour early, and catch whoever's the act before me, or I'm not worn out, so guess what? I'm going to hang out after I'm done and catch whoever's after me. So,
mm-hmm.
I love getting able to network and kind of meet other people I may not have heard before. So,
very cool. That'll be April 12th and 13th. That's a Friday, Saturday, Munson Brothers, downtown Columbus in Mississippi. Kicks off at 5 on Friday, and it'll wrap up around 11 that evening, and then noon Saturday till probably midnight on Saturday. It's a free event, and I hope you'll come. We'll have artists, vendors. Hopefully, we'll have our visual artists out painting what's happening on stage while people are playing music and telling jokes and food trucks. And we'll be family-oriented until about 8 o'clock, and then we're going to get a little bit more into the adult side of things.
Fun times.
Yeah. We're going to be telling some – we got comedians coming, so – we don't want them to hold back. Question two is one thing that you, and we may have already covered this, but I just wanted to see, since you've begun taking on songwriting, and we talked a little bit about influence, but who are you listening to today, and how do they impact the way that you approach your guitar?
Let me think about this for a minute.
Yeah, sure.
Who am I listening to today? Gosh. I listened to so much. My playlists are so bipolar from all the genres. I'm going to say... let me just grab my phone real quick.
Do what you got to do.
Let me just grab my phone real quick. Let's just see... he'll kind of have on repeat. I tell you what, I'm really digging the Red Dirt Country right now, the Zach Bryan, the Tyler Childers,
yeah,
the little more of the edgier, stuff. Yeah, that's kind of like who I'm listening to, who I'm really liking. Morgan Wade.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. Warming in right now. So
and like saying it like that, the edgier. Like I like that. I think that people like Sturgill or even Zach, like it's almost like it's giving everyone else a permission slip to be a little bit more brave with their words too.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially now that it's passing and it's becoming like popular to wear. Like I've had a hat that I've worn for years. Pop country is for posers, and like just so dogmatically tired of what's on your radio, because I don't think that is I don't think that's the needle or the dial for where we are when it comes to country.
Right. Well, I was listening to Spotify or had, I don't know, Pandora playing on the TV. I'm not sure. But I can't even remember who the artist was now, but it wasn't Morgan Wallen, but it was a guy, country singer, and something was thrown out about a Silverado. And I was like, I mean, heck, do all male country artists drive a freaking Silverado?
It seems that way, right?
It does.
Yeah.
So, I mean, thinking
then,
like...
Yeah, and then with Zach Bryan, it's like you get something that's kind of refreshing.
Yeah, for sure. And just, like, raw. I just love that.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. Well, Jody, last question to walk it out the door. Okay. What was your favorite part of this conversation?
Favorite part of this conversation? I think... You know, just getting to talk about the festival and promoting that.
Hey.
Yeah, shameless plug.
Very cool. Well, Jody, thank you so much. I cannot wait to hear you live on April 12th at Porch Fest. Guys, be on the lookout and follow Jody. If you would, please plug your socials, where you're most active, if people want to get involved with
absolutely
where you're playing at and everything else you have going on.
My Facebook and my Instagram are connected. A lot of things that I post on Instagram post to Facebook. So if you would give me a follow on Instagram, Jody Ross Music.
Very cool. And that will do it for us here. Oh, well, you've already told us. She will be playing a song to walk it out the door, but the name and song is coming. So thank y'all.
Thank y'all so much for checking out the show. My name is Jody Ross again, and this is my newest song called We Brought It All Home. I remember that summer, bending with your baseball number. I was 60, wearing 14 for the Cats. When you kissed me in the dark, my heart wasn't ready for all that. You came out of left field, what we had felt right. Swinging for the fences, didn't need three strikes. Hit it right off the bat, in a league of our own. We covered all our bases. Brought it all home. It was the end of July, bottom of the ninth, in a game of summer love. Would we forfeit, call it quits, leave it all on the field? Can't throw away your song, so real. Came out of left field, but we had felt right. Swinging for the fences, didn't need three strikes. Hit it right off the bat, in a league of our own. Covered all our bases, brought it all home. Say it, you were doing more than stealing faces. You were stealing my heart too. Who knew that summer would be a doubleheader? Give me a diamond on the dime next June. Game out of left field. Well, we had feel right. Swinging for the fences. Didn't need three strikes. Hit it right off the bat. In a league of our own. We covered all our bases. Brought it all home. We covered all our bases. Brought it all home.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.